There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska named three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Oh, we're the same person. What sign are you?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, of course, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the entire series. You get three brand new interviews sent to you every single week. That's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artist and discover the new ones. You can do so any of the usual spots, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org. Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And if you've already subscribed, thank you so much. Now the best thing you can do is give the series a rating and leave a review. Tell us what you like, what your favorite episodes are, if you're more into the film and TV side or the music side of things. I would love to hear whatever's on your mind. Rating, review, subscribe, always appreciate it. And of course, there's the guest list. I mean, some of my recent guests that I've had on here included Ben Barlow from the band Neck Deep, actor Michael Shannon. We had Slater Kinney talk about their new record. Eduardo Franco, you know him from Stranger Things. Jack Antonoff, the super producer behind Taylor Swift and Lana Del Rey and Lorde. Peter Capaldi, he played Doctor Who. He stopped by with Tom Mucci to talk about Criminal Records, that show on Hulu. McKenna Grace, who, of course, among a life of films that she's already had, is in the new Ghostbusters movies. Also talked with Janelle Monáe, Andy Taylor of Duran Duran, Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age. Dolly Parton was here. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. Kyle Meredith, that's me today talking with actress Emily Hampshire. You know, Emily, she played Stevie on Schitt's Creek. She was in 12 Monkeys. She has had a very great career so far. And today we're going to be talking about a handful of her projects with the focus on her role in the new Jake Johnson movie called Self-Reliance. Now, this is the movie that tells the story of a disillusioned man who receives an invitation to win $1 million by taking part in a dark web reality television game show. And for 30 days has to outwit hunters attempting to kill him. He realizes there's a loophole in the game. The hunters can only attack him when he's alone. So he attempts to convince friends, family, and total strangers that the game is real and that he needs them to stay with him 24/7 around the clock. Emily's going to tell us how she linked up with Jake for the role and what it was like to work for someone who tripled as the star, director, and writer, as well as her thoughts on the Ralph Waldo Emerson essay that the film takes its name from, and the joy her character has in watching all of the mayhem unfold. Emily also going to tell us about working with the late Norman Lear on what I believe was his final project, a reboot of his classic series, Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. How the script for the upcoming season 2 of The Rig, she says, blew her mind, and her new graphic novel, Amelia Earwood, Basic Witch. All that and more as we talk self-reliance. It's Kyle Meredith with Emily Hampshire.
Is that Tegan and Sarah on your wall?
That is Tegan and Sarah, autographed even.
Amazing.
That's nice, amazing. Because most people, they go for everything else, you know, because there's some R.E.M. and Bowie and Prince. And
Prince
really,
and
does anyone actually...
Tegan and Sarah.
Yeah.
I'm Canadian, too.
And you're Canadian.
So. The best. Yeah.
You have to. That's a part of the rules. It is such a pleasure to meet you. Seriously. And I'll start right in on this movie too with Self-Reliance, one of the most original scripts that I've seen, one of the funniest movies that I've seen, and everybody is so good on it, including yourself.
Well, thank you, but I totally agree. I feel like it's weird for me to be in something that I actually like, I like so much, because I feel weird saying like because I'm not actually selling it or pretending like it's actually that good.
Is that a problem you have, that you don't always like everything that you're in?
Well, no, it's that you never know, right? You can have a great script, and everything I set out to do at the beginning, you think it's going to be great, and you know, or it can be great and it just doesn't find its audience, or it's the wrong timing. I mean, even Schitt's Creek, quite honestly, the first season, nobody watched it. In fact, it only became popular when we were finished. So you never know, right? But this, I watched it with an audience for the first time at South by Southwest, and I was like, I haven't seen a big comedy like this that like people in a theater are laughing at all collectively. It was just such an experience that I haven't had since, I don't know, 1920.
I will echo that. While I didn't see it in the theater, we've already adopted some of the moments into our lives at home. Like, we've taken it out of the movie now, and you know, from the production assistants, as I speak to my wife over the bed, you know, it's very, you know, it's all
That's
of those things.
So good.
So let's just start with the basics, the obvious stuff. Like, how do you end up in this movie? How does this land in your lap?
So I got a call asking if I wanted to have a Zoom meeting with Jake Johnson, and they sent me the script, and I read the script, and I was like, I don't even need a meeting. This script is amazing. So, but yeah, we can have a meeting, but I'm in. So that was basically it. And then we did have a meeting, and he was lovely. And like, I was really impressed with him as a director, because I didn't know what to expect. It's his first film, but like, he was so generous and just I think he did a great job. Like, a great job.
Yeah, I have to imagine, like, if you ever had the luxury of being able to search out roles that you want to play, you know, that you know, sometimes you just got to take something, but like, I would imagine, like, this is the stuff that actors would be looking for. Is that fair? Like, because this is different.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I love that, you know, that it's not always, you don't always get to choose what you want to do, but yeah, and especially working with this cast that is incredible. And I feel a little spoiled that my part was such that I just got to be entertained by everybody. So I just got to laugh, or try not to laugh.
That's it. So you play one of the sisters, and against Mary Holland and the other sister. And I love that there's dynamics between, like, how would you explain yours? Yours gets to be a bit the more sarcastic of it. Is that... Like, how would you?
Yeah, I guess I remember talking to Jake about it right after I'd read it. And I was like, I feel like from Mary's point of view, my character, that this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to the family. like on a Wednesday. So I think she's really entertained by it and just wants to poke it and stoke this fire of him being, you know, from my point of view, bananas. But also playing sisters with Mary, being called Mary. My character's name is Mary, but Mary Holland plays my sister. That was confusing. But otherwise, I can't believe we haven't played sisters before, like, or that we aren't actually sisters, because it felt so perfect.
Yeah. And what you all are able to accomplish in really, you know, not a great amount of screen time, you know, because most of the time we're, you know, the camera's following around Jake on these adventures. So when you guys get to be there, whether it's, you know, in the living room or the club or the line outside the club, I guess, but like, is there a challenge to that? Because you sort of have to establish a lot in a little, and everyone does such a great job of that. It's actually impressive.
Well, that's so interesting that you say that, because it is a small part on the page and stuff. And I feel like you go into a movie like this just being wanting to be a cog in the wheel of this whole thing. So there's no, I didn't even think of establishing my character so much as being there for Tommy, for his character. Like there was a kind of in service of aspect to it that ultimately, I guess, results in us being full humans. But no, it was just easy in a great way.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Emily Hampshire. It's like I said, in the chemistry everybody's got together. I mean, yeah, you don't always see that. And even playing around with what this story is even about, like when you get to explain it to somebody, like, you know, I know there's this side of it, like you have Tommy, who's more or less a mess and trying to get his life in order. Mm-hmm. And then you have this dark web game show that sort of raises the stakes about it all. Like, what is that side? Like, I don't know how much thought you put into it on that side of things as we just kind of widen out. Like, what does it all mean to you?
That's, these are really good questions, by the way. But like, what's funny is when I read the script, I saw self-reliance, and I know this essay by Ralph Waldo Emerson. It's called On Self-Reliance. And I wasn't sure if that, I can't even remember if it had anything to do with that, but I remember just being struck by that title because that essay was so meaningful to me in my life. And I do feel like there is a deeper meaning in the movie, which is why I think it does hold up so well as both a comedy and a thriller, because it's tied together by this being the most exciting thing that happens in his life because he's not satisfied with where he's at. And he's still, you know, there's some people say like depression is thinking in the past and anxiety is the future. And he's very much in the past and worried about the future. And I think this puts him in the present. Like if you have an assassin after you, you have to be in the present. And I think there's something about that to me in this movie.
Oh no, I like that angle, like having to be put in the present. I hadn't thought of that exact same way of
I hadn't thought of it until right now.
What we're here for, right? We're here to,
yeah.
Here to change the world through these little interviews right here. That's but you know, and it is interesting in a way because, you know, this is a movie that does come out of the pandemic. And whether or not I think, you know, anytime I talk to especially musicians, actors, the sense of loneliness that this character has, and I've noticed that about a bit of Nick's, geez, why did I just do that? Hard habits,
true.
Right there, of Jake's, of Jake's scripts. you know, there is something about that loneliness that kind of plays throughout it. And I don't know that you all get to talk about it. And I mean, do you all get to talk about, you know, the story in those type of levels? Is that, was that part of the setup?
You know, we didn't, but I am interested in that stuff. I thought about that more after I saw the movie and was just in awe of all the levels of it, because on like just out of the gate as a pure comedy, it works so well. And then there's the game of it and the thriller of it. And then there's the family that, you know, as funny as it is, there's this real sense of a longing for connection. And that is all of us in the world now. Even I would say, even me, who is like, I'm a lone wolf. I like to be alone. I don't like to hang out. I don't have fun having fun. But I do like to connect when I do it. Like, if this makes any sense, I never want to go to the party, but once I am there, I always realize like, oh, I made a friend. That was good.
Yeah, I'm the I don't want to go to the party, but I want to be invited to the party, please.
Oh yeah, I want to be invited. I want to
Yeah.
be invited. I don't want to go.
So is it like what's your fun? Is it you don't want to go, you don't have fun with the fun? Is work fun? Is that because that's the type I am. That's why I'm asking that. Like work I
Oh yeah.
yeah, I work for fun.
That's what me too. And that's what I normally find when I'm at something that is supposed to be fun. Like the expectation is, hey, come to this thing. It'll be so fun. I know all I'm going to be thinking of is I would have more fun at home working on something. And what, and because that is, I guess, going inside my head, which is a place no one would want to be, but I like to go in there and imagine things and come up with ideas and work on stuff and be inspired by things. And I find that to be the most fun I ever have.
And you get to be creative. Like I get that. Like I the my wife will get on me. It's like, oh, you need to take a break. And I was like, this is my break. This is what I'm trying to, this is what I want to do. We're going on a vacation. I'm like, oh, do I
Oh,
have
we're the
to?
same person. What sign are you?
I'm a Libra.
Oh, interesting. All my best friends are Libras. Yeah. So, well, I'm a Virgo, so I'm crazy. But yeah, that is, I feel like a vacation is such a nightmare because then I want to work and then I come back from forced vacation and it's stressful to me, like that I haven't, you know, yeah.
Yeah, if
Same.
I can, if I talk her into letting me take the computer, then the vacation will be a little bit better. That's we'll see about that. That's interesting. But you get to do so much creative stuff. I do love watching what you're doing. I mean, of course, you know, we have to mention the things like Schitt's Creek, which was so good. And I find it interesting that you know, the comparison of these two projects of you working with writer and star at the same time.
Oh yeah, I didn't think of that, but that's true. And I am very impressed by that. With Jake, I was just so impressed by him being able to be an actor, a writer, and a director, and yet be so generous to other people around them, which I would think I would get way too anxious about things like, I don't know. If I wrote something and an actor and an actor did it, I'd be like, you're really gonna do it like that? Like that's not how I'd be the worst. I would be the absolute worst where I was in awe of how he was the best. He really let go, like he gave us all the roles once he cast us. He let us embody them in a way that wasn't necessarily on the page, and that is pretty amazing.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Emily Hampshire. One of your other projects I wanted to ask about because it was funny how it all connected to me, like little puzzle pieces. I'm a big fan of Norman Lear, and you know, of course, we lost a legend. And I didn't know your story about you and him yet, about Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. But when he passed, I'd read something that said, and he was working right up until his last weeks and was working on this project of rebooting Mary Hartman. And then I read yours. It's like, oh my God, this is all the same people.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing? Because I really want that to still be a thing.
Yes, it is still a thing. It's, there's been so much, because we started this a while ago and there was, you know, we were at TBS and then TBS got rid of all their unscripted and became Discovery. And then there was a writer's strike. And so there's just been all these hurdles. And what's interesting was that I just feel like in Norman's passing, it just brought this, I don't know how to say it. It's just when the development process is so long, and I'm not used to that as an actor. I'm used to like getting cast and going, and that his heart was in this, like from the beginning all the way to the end, just makes me want to just do right by him and.
What was it about that show that you latched onto? Because that wasn't, as you pointed out, it wasn't one of the obvious ones. It's not one of the ones that gets celebrated as much as the others.
No. Well, you know, the truth is I had gone to an acting class in 2008. I went to this acting class because my manager at the time, who was no longer my manager, had said that casting directors didn't think I was funny. And so I went to this acting class to like fix the not funny in my sense of humor. And I went on stage and I did the scene thing. And then I looked to the teacher for her to tell me how to fix it. And she said, have you seen Mary Hartman? And I hadn't. And she said, you should watch it. She's your kind of funny. And I watched it. And she even said to me then, she's like, they should remake that show with you. This was like 2008, long time ago. So that's why I feel like Mary has been in my life for so long. And yeah, I can't believe that something like that has kind of come true. Still haven't fixed the funny. Still haven't fixed that. But yeah.
Didn't that say something about not changing for the world, but letting the world come to you? It's one of those, it's like, you know, we can write that on a little Valentine heart, right?
It's... Oh, yeah. Oh, there is that quote that like what's that quote? The reasonable man, there's this quote about the reasonable man adapts himself to the world and the unreasonable man adapts the world to himself. And therefore all progress depends on the unreasonable man. I just feel like, and that's kind of self-reliance. What that essay is about is like being the you think nobody's interested in. And that is self-reliance. And that kind of story shows up in my life a lot. So maybe that's the lesson I need to learn.
And look at the way you bring that right back around to the main topic, right? It's like you've done this before.
No, I don't know that happened. I really don't. I wish I could control that and actually like make that happen more often.
It's really good. I heard about the Rig getting a season two. That's also exciting. I feel like we're getting into hopefully getting into like Lost territory here. It's starting to get like, what's the big mystery unraveling or raveling?
Season two blew my mind when I read it. I couldn't believe that they had written it before certain things happened in the world that I'm not going to say about, but it is a shocking, exciting season of TV. It's really TV, life imitating art, imitating life.
Well, I'll be excited about that. And I'll quickly point out, and there's a book, right? You did a book.
Yeah, I did a graphic novel called Amelia Earwood, Basic Witch. And actually... I guess this is the thing that shows up in my life because it's ultimately about this girl, Amelia, who is, her family is like the Kardashians of the witch world, and they get their reality show and she gets kicked out of the reality show because she's shit at magic. But ultimately, the thing she finds is that the thing she thinks isn't good about herself is actually her real magic. And that's the thing that kind of blows up. And yeah, I didn't explain that very well, but it's self-reliance.
Right. That's what you still explained it in the context of self-reliance. So that's well done. I haven't seen it yet, but I was just learning about it. And I do love a good graphic novel, so I can't wait to dig into that. And
Oh, thanks.
yeah, and seriously, all of your work, I am such a big fan of what you do, and Self-Reliance is so fun to watch you with this crew, and you all weave your own magic. And it's such a pleasure, seriously. Thank you so
What
much for
you
taking
just
the time.
did. Look what you just did. This is good. We're good.
We're good.
Yeah. You know why? Because this is how we have fun.
Listen, anytime you need a work buddy, don't call me. Just know that I'm working as well and we're both having fun together.
Okay, yes. Oh my God. That is so me to say, don't call me. We'll parallel play. But yeah.
But
Oh.
seriously, I do hope whenever Mary Hartman rolls around that we do get to talk some more about that because I'm really interested. But in the meantime, thank you so much for taking the time today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much. This has been my pleasure so much. Thank you.
My thanks to Emily. Self-Reliance now streaming on Hulu. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. That way, you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out. Three brand new interviews every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All the usual spots, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Again, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 90s, 80s, 70s. You get the best in new music. There's bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent episodes featured the music of Ray Charles, Tina Turner, Bruce Springsteen, David Bowie, Squeeze, Book of Love, Mitski, Wet Leg, Blonde Shell, Gomez, Pearl Jam, Tom Waits, Regina Spektor, Liv Warfield, Lucy Rose, Carly Simon, Kirstie McCall, Real Estate, Silverchair, The Kills, Paula Cole, The Clash, Pixies, and my interview with Julia Michaels, who did all of the songs for the Disney animated movie Wish. Just an example of what you can hear every weeknight, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.